It's the Rise and Shout Podcast, episode 172. I am your host, Adam Mangum. Matt and I talk about the Hoops team and their dwindling tourney chances. What do they need to do to turn it around and maybe be playing well into March? Next up after that, we talk about independence. Has it proven to be a good way? Do we need to join a conference for football to make ourselves viable and grant access? Matt and I explore farther. And then, of course, we finish talking about the NFL playoffs. This is the Rise and Shout Podcast. Tweet at us at BYU_RiseShout. Email the show, adam@loyalcougars.com. Check us out on iTunes. And, of course, listen to us right now. Rise and Shout Podcast. Matt, what's going on?
Super Bowl bound, baby.
Super Bowl bound. You going?
Sure.
You going to Arizona?
Sure.
Well, coming up on the podcast, we will talk about the NFL playoffs, but I'm going to save that to the end.
Playoffs?
We had two very interesting championship games that we will discuss later on the podcast. I know some of our listeners do not like the NFL. I don't understand it, but I will respect it, and we'll save that for the end. Matt, do you ever turn on the BYU TV?
I do, time and again, access BYU TV on my television or mobile device.
Yes, I do as well. We got a Roku. Is it Roku or Roku?
I think it's Roku, but I don't have one to look at to read the label off of like you do.
I'm sitting in a hotel room.
Oh, so.
I think it's Roku. Anyway, we got a Roku, and they have a channel, the BYU TV channel, on it, so it's a little easier than air playing from a mobile device onto the Apple TV. So anyway, I got that for Christmas, and so Friday night. I was sitting down and I was like, what am I going to do? Turn on the TV.
Yeah.
And I went and watched some men's volleyball.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Did you watch any of it?
Yeah, I watched Friday night and Saturday night.
So I watched pretty much all of Friday night, and I watched some of Saturday night because we had some friends over that night. But after they left, I got the end of the match. Pretty impressive. Pretty impressive, with the all-everything, all-American gone, now they still beat the number 4 team in the country. Now, I realize there's like 30 men's volleyball teams in the country, but still, it was very exciting, very exciting. That was a fun one. Did you go much when you were there? You were a big men's volleyball fan, right?
I did, and they were really good. They were really good in that stretch. Yeah, I got some of the Ryan Millar era.
Yeah, yeah.
We had Ozzie Antonetti. I mean, there were some really good teams Ozzie. In those days. Yeah. That was a ton of fun to watch.
Yeah, and this team might have that kind of potential. They last year was fun to watch some of the matches as well. So, good start to the season for them, beating what is supposed to be a young and talented UCLA squad that. Well, they just hammered them on Friday. It was a much closer match, more competitive on Saturday night.
Yeah, UCLA seemed to have figured some things out Saturday night. But I don't know much about volleyball strategy. I find it really fun to watch. It's a fast-paced game. It is fun to watch. But UCLA seemed to have figured something out, but not quite enough to get over the hump Saturday night.
Not quite enough. And, of course, that Smith Fieldhouse crowd, I'm sure, played into that. A little bit.
The crowd is hilarious.
Awesome.
They chew the opposing team up on the serve. They just chew them up and spit them out.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a great crowd. I mean, I've heard, I had friends who were men's volleyball fans outside of BYU, and it is a highly respected venue within both men's and women's volleyball aficionados. So, it's one of those venues that is talked about. There's the Cameron Crazies, and then there's in men's and women's volleyball Smith Fieldhouse people. I don't know what they're called. But anyway, it was fun to watch. Love having access and HD HD. Because when I had BYU TV on DirecTV, it's, you know, in standard definition.
Ugh. Yeah, who watches that anymore?
Unless we're doing close-ups of people's faces that maybe you don't want close-ups of their faces, I prefer HD.
So you get the HD on the Roku?
Yeah, you get the HD BYU TV on the Roku.
Wow, that's nice.
And we got the Roku stick. I don't know, it was like $35 or something. It wasn't expensive. It's not as intuitive as the Apple TV, though. It's a little harder to use, but it's not bad. But we got it mainly for BYU TV and the Amazon Instant Video because we're Prime. So,
prime time. Well, you know, there's at least one football game in 2015 that will be on BYU TV for
sure. Exactly. And now I can see it on in HD without doing AirPlay, which always, at some point in the game, it like, I don't know what happens. It always ends up going off. I don't know. But anyway, Matt, let's go straight to Cougars in the News.
Cougars in the News!
So, Matt, Jimmer Fredette, you may have heard of him. He was kind of popular a few years ago.
Yeah, Jimmer.
Over his last 10 games with the Pelicans, and yes, again, that is a real NBA team, 17 minutes a game, nearly 8 points and 2 assists a game. He had, let me see, I need to refresh. Game is probably over now against the Knickerbockers. The Knickerbockers.
they're named pants.
So he did not play a lot in the game tonight against the Knicks, only 6 points in 10 minutes. But he had a big game Friday against the Sixers in a loss, 13 points, 5 assists in that game, 5 of 8 shooting from the floor, though none of his made baskets were three-pointers. Matt, you've been hopeful that he could find something here in these few weeks here after Austin Rivers was traded. Do you think he's found it, or do you think this is just a couple of blips on the radar screen?
I think this is his shot. I think this is his legitimate shot.
Yes.
And it's up to his performance to see if he's really made it or if this is just a couple of blips on the radar screen. I think if he performs, that he's going to continue to get an opportunity.
Yeah. And that's kind of, honestly, it's kind of neat if he does. I mean, he's still young, but, I mean, he's been in the NBA now for what? This is his fourth season? So, in NBA terms, typically guys don't hang around at the end of the bench for 6, 7, or 8 years, right? They'll trade you in for somebody newer and shinier. Is that a word?
They'll get the newer model.
But I have to tell you something was jarring. I have watched more NBA this year than I have in the last few years. I don't know why. But I have started watching more, not like I used to, but Matthew Dellavedova. Matthew Dellavedova plays meaningful minutes for the Cleveland Cavaliers.
And, do we have to talk about this?
Well, it's just jarring to me, Matt, because Dellavedova was a very good college player. Highly respected him, right? But if you had asked me when they're both in college, who's got a better shot at sticking and being in a rotation for a playoff-bound team in the NBA, I would have said Jimmer, right? I was never high on Jimmer becoming a big time, 20-point a game score or anything, but I thought he'd have a good career. And Dellavedova, I would have said, he's probably not quick enough, he's probably not big enough. But it shows you just sometimes you don't know. You know, till they get in the pros and their weaknesses and strengths get kind of exposed, or they get like Jimmer stuck on a team in Sacramento that didn't seem to know what to do with him. It's just kind of weird. It's kind of weird. Do you think now? Let's stick with hoops here for a minute, Matt.
Mm-hmm.
BYU's tourney chances. Let's go there. Speaking of the St. Mary Gales, Brad Waldo, I can't stand him. I mean, I don't know how you feel about Waldo, but he's a good player. I just He annoys me. I don't know why.
Does he look like a little awkward to everybody else, or do I just feel that way because I'm a BYU fan? But he looks awkward when he plays.
He's not the smoothest post player ever. I think he's gotten less awkward as time has gone by. But yes, definitely feels awkward. After the high of watching two volleyball wins, that St. Mary's game was a little hard to stomach. But here's my takeaway, Matt, from the last few weeks and the loss to Pepperdine, loss to St. Mary's. BYU is operating on a very thin margin for error.
Mm-hmm.
You take Pepperdine, where you had a sick Kyle Collinsworth not able to fully contribute, and we have a loss. You take St. Mary's, where you have an injured Anson Winder, which we don't know when he'll be back with his knee sprain, and we lose to the Gales. And you also maybe Collinsworth got injured in that one as well. This is a very thin line that they're operating against. And right now, the side of the line they're in is probably not in the tournament.
Yes.
Not that they're way out of it, but, you know, and a win against Gonzaga here in a few weeks on the road, you know, changes that picture immensely, right?
Oh, that would change it in a hurry.
Changes in a hurry. And, of course, everyone will point out they can obviously get into the tourney by winning the conference championship. And I think this is actually, of the team of the last few years, a team that's built for a conference tournament because of the three-point shooting. If you get three games in a row where Fisher can hit five or six threes and Collinsworth gets hot, Winder hits three or four, then all of a sudden you could go on a run, right, and win the tournament. Is it likely? No. Gonzaga is just a really good team. That being said, they're on the wrong side of the line right now, Matt. Tournament starts today. I don't think they're in.
No, they're probably just out.
And, you know, they've done the right thing by scheduling good teams out of conference. Picked up a really good win, looking even better than it was at the time with Stanford. They were preseason in Pomeroy's ranking, they were 54th, and right now between RPI and Pomeroy and some other computer rankings, Stanford is somewhere around, you know, maybe just outside of the top 30. You know, so that's the big marquee win at the moment, right? Mm-hmm. And then got some quote-unquote quality losses against Utah and Gonzaga, if such a thing exists. But then some of the other losses, Purdue isn't looking great. San Diego State is fine. It's not a bad loss. But Pepperdine, that hurts the resume, a home loss to a team that is maybe a lot better than their preseason predictions were, but still just sitting inside the top 100 in the country. Not a quality team.
Yeah, that one hurts.
That one hurts. Obviously, the St. Mary's hurts less on the road against a team that, again, outperforming preseason predictions and is a top 60 team this season so far, consensus among the computer and other rankings. So, Matt, Anson Winder, would you have ever thought at the beginning of the season that losing Anson Winder to injury could put this much of a shadow on the tournament hopes?
I don't know that I would have. I mean, I thought about that actually, watching the game the other night. Was that the difference? And I think that's a legitimate conversation to have. And if you would have told me that at the beginning of the season, I don't know if I would have bought that. If that would have been one of your, you know, buy sell or something in a podcast earlier this season, I would have sold.
Yeah, I would have sold it too. The other one that I think I would have been more, this one I would have bought more is Austin's loss. While it has made triple doubles easier for Kyle Collinsworth because, you know, he's the best rebounder left on the team, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not good for the Cougars in that there's really nobody else in the middle. You know, I want to read you a line, Matt. You ready to go to? It's our box score line of the day. All right. Luke Worthington against St. Mary's. Okay. 17 minutes. The only stats he accumulated was one missed shot and three personal fouls. 17 minutes. Corbin Kaufusi, who we've been pretty high on this podcast, 17 minutes, 1-for-1 shooting, so he did contribute, but only one rebound in 17 minutes. He did also have a block and a steal, so not terrible, and was in foul trouble. We don't have an above-average big man without Nate Austin.
Right.
We don't. There's not one on the roster who can say that today. Now, Corbin Kaufusi, Nixon, I don't know. I mean, some of these guys may eventually become above-average big men. I don't know. But they aren't today. And it's killing us. And Halford did admirably in, you know, with 12 points and a couple rebounds. But he's not defensively, he's not Anson Winder.
Definitely not. I think I saw on Twitter somebody tried to make the comparison to those great Chicago Bulls teams that weren't getting a lot of points out of their big men, but were really relying them on on defense. But I don't feel like that's what these guys are providing either.
No, I don't think if you look at, you know, Kaufusi is raw, as we've talked about before, and I think there's some upside there long term. But if you look at, say, their defensive rating on sportsreference.com, not a perfect rating, but if you look at it, they've got the only above average defenders, according to them, on the team are Kyle Collinsworth is actually rated as the best defender, Anson Winder. But among the post guys, Isaac Nielsen, in his not a lot of minutes, is besides Nate Austin ranked as the best post player defensively. It's not good, man. It is not good. So predicting at this point, and this is assuming a return to health for both Collinsworth and Winder, which is a huge assumption. How many more games does BYU lose?
One.
Just to Gonzaga.
Yep. I think they win the St. Mary's game in Provo.
I agree with you, and I think they beat Pepperdine here in a couple weeks in Malibu. So I agree with you. I think there's only one more loss in here, but part of me thinks there might be two.
Well, I think if we don't get maybe even both of those guys back healthy, there's a second loss in here probably.
Yes, and maybe even a third.
Yeah. That could get ugly. That's hard to even think about.
It is hard to think about. But let's hope they both return to health. Knee sprains are tricky. Not hard to know when I'll be back. I've sprained my knees several times. Of course, Winder's a much better athlete. But still, it's a tricky injury to come back from. So Matt, let's talk about something positive here. Tyler Hawes is on track at 28 points against St. Mary's, 9 of 19 shooting, 9 of 11 free throws. He's going to become the all-time leading scorer at BYU. I think that's pretty much barring injury, kind of a given at this point, based on his recent point production. Is Tyler Hawes a worthy holder of that belt?
I think he's a worthy holder of the belt. I mean, this team is not going to do what the Jimmer Fredette team did, right?
No. Tyler does not have the cast around him that Jimmer did.
Right. And in some ways, you know, that it almost makes it kind of more impressive, but at the same time, it's like, well, no, I mean, he's scoring all the points because he doesn't have the cast around him that Jimmer Fredette did. I think he's a worthy holder of the belt. I mean, he's very talented, one of the best players to come through the program. It'd be great if he could accompany that with a deep tournament run, but I'm just not sure they've got that in the tank. He as good as these other guys up at the top of that list? Oh, absolutely.
You know, if Austin, Winder, and Collinsworth are healthy and somehow they do get into the tournament, a deep tournament run is possible. Likely, probably not, but possible. Again, I go back to the three-point shooting. If you can have one of those crazy three-point shooting nights, you may be able to slip into the Sweet 16. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And Fisher, Hawes, Winder, and Collinsworth could combine for something crazy behind the arc. You know what I mean?
Right.
Fisher, again, with 5 3-pointers. I mean, this guy is what he was advertised to be, which is a stone-cold shooter. And he has been everything I thought he would be and probably more. But I'm with you. I don't think he's going to go down as the best player in BYU history. Heck, he may not even be top three. But he is definitely a worthy holder and is one of the best, you know, 10, 7, maybe 6 players to ever play for BYU.
Yes.
I think some people are going to roast me for that because I think some people think he's top three. But, I mean, Ainge to me is the first, and it's not particularly that close. And I think Jimmer's 2. And then there's, you know, Michael Smith, Krešimir Čočić. Ah, I knew I was going to butcher his name. Could you give me his last name?
Let's just call him Krešimir.
There we go. You know, there have been some really good players, and it's hard to compare across eras, right? But that being said, Haas is definitely worthy of holding the belt and an incredible scorer. And his consistency, I mean, he was good from the year before his mission and then right after his mission and then, of course, the 2 seasons since. So he is amazing to watch. One more stat, Matt, from the St. Mary's game.
Mm-hmm.
They had 17 offensive rebounds. BYU had only 21 defensive rebounds. I'm not great with math, but that's your difference in winning and losing a 5-point game.
Not great at math, but
great at
good
math.
Enough to do that math.
Good enough to do that math. So, Matt, now we're going to tackle something that we talk about a lot, but we're going to go about a little more systematically, is independence.
Independence.
Independence. So, we'll start off with a tweet bag question.
Tweet bag.
This is Sweeney, Justin Sweeney, at Justin
Sweeney.
He's getting back into the tweet baggery.
Back in action.
Yeah, we haven't.
He's the biggest tweet bag of them all.
That's true. That's true. He is. Though we've got another very large tweet bag coming up later. Anyway, Justin says,
"This just sounds weird now."
Yeah, it's going downhill quickly. Justin asks, "While I like independence, what do you think of the 4-pod idea?" And it's a link to Cougar Board, which is always a little strange.
Yeah, I already have an opinion. This idea. just based on that.
So this is what I'll tell you. I will hold on here. Hold on. I got to copy this link and go into Chrome. Here we go. Copying link. So I've heard other proposals like this. This is not unique to this individual on Cougar Board. I'll give him credit by his username here in a second once my slow internet stops being so slow. But basically, you take the AAC, the American Conference, and you break it into 4 pods, okay? And you've got BYU, Boise State, UNLV, and Colorado State. Now, this is, of course, they add Navy, but they also have to add us, Boise State, UNLV, and Colorado State. So there's a lot of ifs here. Central pod, SMU, Tulane, Tulsa, and Houston. Eastern pod, Memphis, Cincinnati, UConn, and Temple. And then a southern pod, Central Florida, Eastern Carolina, Southern Florida, and Navy. So, Matt, let me ask you a question. Are you at all interested in this idea?
No.
Okay. So let's talk about why neither of us are interested in this by going through. And the comparison is going to be, for the moment, not against the Big 12 or another Power 5 conference, but against, I would say, the American Conference. Anyone that talks to me about the Mountain West, I'm going to ignore you completely because it's just stupid to talk about. BYU is never going back to the Mountain West any more likely than they are getting invited to the Pac-12, okay? They're
Listen,
not going back.
If BYU goes to the Mountain West, I will sew my head to the carpet.
Yes. And I will help you sew it.
I'm not even sure what that means. And if it happens, I'm not going to actually do that.
No, you won't.
Legal disclaimer.
So Matt, let's go break it down. Schedule-wise.
Break it down.
Schedule-wise, better schedules independent or better schedules American Conference?
Better schedules independent.
Checkmark, independence. I mean, let's look again. We did this a little bit, I think two podcasts ago.
Yeah, you're never – this 2015 schedule, you'll never get that. Granted, we've got to play Wagner and Provo, but you get Michigan, you get UCLA, you get Nebraska. I mean, you got Missouri on that schedule. You can't do that if you're in a conference.
No,
unless
no.
It's a P5 conference.
Do you really want to play UNLV, Colorado State every year because you're in their pod?
Kind of, because it's good for, makes you feel good about yourself. But
okay, but we can schedule UNLV anytime we want anyway.
So, yeah, we can.
So that's not helpful. 2015, Nebraska, Boise, UCLA, Michigan, San Jose State, not good, but Missouri. And then, of course, these rivalries we have with Boise and Utah State, we don't need to be in a conference. It's been pretty clear that this is going to happen, okay? So, all right, go to 2016. What does 2016 look like? Oh, Arizona, Utah, UCLA, West Virginia, Boise State. Okay, then why? What are we doing again? Did I miss something? Because why would we go into a conference when this schedule, it's clear at this point, though I think there was some doubt at the beginning, that Tom Homo is going to be able to put together good schedules. Now, November is sometimes going to be a little bit of a snooze fest.
Gets a little rocky. November in 2017, is not the best.
Well, yeah, but that one's not even, 2017, who knows, right? But we get to open up against LSU, for heaven's sakes.
Yes.
And this November, we get at San Jose State, Missouri and Arrowhead and Fresno State. That's not terrible. It's not great. But the Missouri game, that's pretty sweet.
Yeah, that is pretty sweet.
That's pretty sweet. So, okay, there we have it. Now, the next one is... Go ahead.
I think one of the places where fans generally get tripped up is around the idea of access and exposure.
Okay, so let's talk about access first and separate that from exposure for a minute, because they're two different things. So let's talk about access to the New York Six.
Now, as far as I remember it, when we went independent, when they talked about access, they weren't talking about access to any bowl system.
Okay, but let's talk about access.
That was not
the
goal. That wasn't the goal of, but that was not the stated goal of the program.
No, absolutely not. But let's talk about that though, because fans care about that, right? You and I
and fans talk about access in terms of access to now the college football playoff, but before the BCS system. That's how fans keep talking about it. But that's not. I don't think that's how Homo thinks about it.
No, though I'm sure he thinks about access to both of these, to the New York Six and the college football playoff. But here's the argument against independence. It kind of goes like this. The American Conference of the Mountain West have guaranteed access, kind of, meaning that whoever out of those other conferences, whether that's, the MAC, the Mountain West, the American, I'm even forgetting, Sun Belt. Those guys, whoever is the top-ranked person, like Boise was this year, gets to go to one of the big bowls. Okay? Kind of cool, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
BYU only gets to go to one of those bowls as an at-large bid, which means they have to knock out an invitee from one of the big conferences.
Right.
So the argument goes, we need to get into one of those smaller conferences because if we have a great season, then we are guaranteed or pretty close to guaranteed a spot in one of those bowls. But here's the problem, Matt. What happens if you and Boise both have a great season at the same time? What happens if Northern Illinois has won the season like they did several years ago? BYU in this scenario, I don't think is the access to the New York Six in the playoff a little better? To the playoff, no. I don't think it has any relevance to the... But to the New York Six, is it better? Probably. But I don't think it's better by a lot. Right? Or am I wrong?
If you have a great season with one of these independent schedules, I think you have just as good of a shot.
Yes.
At getting into a New York Six game, as you would in any of these conferences you just mentioned, minus the Mountain West.
So let me paint a scenario, for example. Okay, let's imagine BYU starts the season by beating Nebraska in Lincoln and beats Boise State in Provo.
All right, I like your scenario so far.
Then we lose to UCLA in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Beat Michigan, beat UConn, beat East Carolina, beat Cincinnati, beat Wagner, beat San Jose State. Big game against Missouri. We're probably at that point ranked in the top 15 in the country.
Okay, I think so where are the losses now?
Just UCLA at that point.
Yeah.
We shock Missouri in Kansas City. We beat Fresno
State. Shock the world.
Shock the world. Beat Fresno State and then beat Utah State. Quality wins would be Nebraska, Boise State, Michigan, probably because they're going to be better, Missouri, and Utah State. So you got some good group of quality wins. And your losses against a UCLA team, I'm going to make it up that, you know, is a two-loss Pac-12 team. Okay? You're in the New York Six. You're in. You're in. That with that schedule, you have made, unless something weird is going on in the conferences and they're top heavier than they were the last couple of years, you're in. So I don't think the access is really that much better. A little, but not a lot. You know, a little. But now, I mean, let's move on to exposure, Matt, okay? Now, exposure, I think, is the one that Homo talked a lot about when we went independent. So explain to me why exposure is better with this than it would be with the American Conference.
You get your own TV deal. That one's easy.
Yeah. And a lot
more money. You're on ESPN almost every weekend.
Yes. And did I mention a lot more money? And Jay Drew pointed out, a friend of the podcast, Jay Drew, in a recent piece in the Salt Lake Tribune, as he looked through the Nebraska contract, they're paying us a lot of money to come to Lincoln.
Yeah, about $1 million.
And to Ann Arbor. You just don't have that many open dates when you join a conference, and you won't have that flexibility. Or to do like the LSU deal where all of a sudden somebody comes to you and says, all right, let's roll, let's do it. You don't have that kind of flexibility. That flexibility exists. If we want to talk about financial, I've seen some good pieces on it. You can go Google it. Ryan Teeples and others have done this. Some people think wrongly that we would make more money if we were in one of these piddling conferences. You are incorrect. Would we make more money if we went to the Big 12? Absolutely. Absolutely. But the money difference is quite substantial, even with the fact that we don't get a piece of, say, if we were in the Mountain West and we got a piece of Boise's New York Six-Day appearance.
I mean, do people not remember when we all did all of this math the year we went independent?
No. I
guess the landscape has shifted some, but do we remember that the TV deal, the original TV deal with ESPN in that first year, we were going to make more money than the entire Mountain West Conference off of their TV deal that year?
We make more money than the entire American Conference off their TV deal. Now, they're renegotiating it, but I don't. The dollars and cents are quite easy, to be honest. It's very simple. We make more money. You know, it would be a backwards. Now, if you thought the advantages were there, or stability, or you think that eventually scheduling independence, you know, you might go backwards to that financially. But man, you've got to have some massive incentives to do it.
You'd have to have way more than what's available now. You know, the potential access to the New York Six that you gain for the money you'd be giving up, you know, with, yeah, I don't see it.
And the college football playoff, the access is the same. Let me reiterate that. If the committee thinks you're one of the top four teams, they're going to put you in.
That's right.
If we go undefeated with a couple of these schedules coming up, we're in the top four. Or very close to it, at least in the conversation. You know, and with one loss against some of these schedules, depending on who the loss is against and who we beat and how well they do, you it's unlikely, but you could at least be in the conversation. And if you're in the conversation, they're going to have a really hard time locking you out of the New York Six if they say this is the fifth best team in the country.
They might have a hard time locking you out of the New York Six, but they might have a hard time getting you in the top four without a conference championship game.
Yes. But I think that's overstated, and I'll tell you why. Okay? TCU and Baylor were not sunk by not having a conference championship game. They were sunk by having crappy out-of-conference schedules. So each quality game you add at the end of the season disproportionately hurts them, right? BYU will not be in that camp. They will have more quality teams than... And Boise is definitely going to bolster that in the future. But what they found out is if you're not going to have a conference championship game, then your early season resume better be pretty awesome. And Baylor's was not pretty awesome.
Yeah.
They played nobody.
That's fair.
But you're right. I mean, the conference championships help. But I don't think – I think this year they may – their value might have got overinflated just because of who the other top teams were. I think what happens next year when it's, the top four teams are the ACC, Big Ten, Pac-12, SEC, and then you throw in that there's a Big 12 team that had an awesome out-of-conference schedule. I mean, don't you think that team maybe trumps maybe even Ohio State this year? Which is funny because they ended up winning the championship, but.
Yeah, that's why they've got to expand to eight, but that's a separate conversation. Maybe that team trumps Ohio State.
Let's have that conversation right now. I say no to eight. And
are you just trying to be difficult?
No, you're talking to a guy that used to think we should do 16 and include 16's. All conference championships. All conference 16's. Champions.
16's too much.
Well, why isn't eight too much? Now, let me get to this here a second. Go ahead.
In the top 16, you have teams in that group.
But you wouldn't do the top 16.
That aren't going to win.
Yes, but you don't do the top 16.
I know. You take the conference champions.
You take the conference champions. So you would have the Sun Belt champ. You would have the MAC champ. You don't have the top 16. You have the top 10.
Right. And you've got a bunch of other teams that have no business in there. So you take the top 8 teams. I believe that the parity at that level is such that any of those 8 teams can win.
Okay, yes, I agree with you, but do they deserve to? Here's my problem with 8, at least this year, okay? Baylor and TCU, did they deserve a shot? Sure. So that takes you to 6. 2-loss Mississippi State. Do they deserve to be in the championship? No. 2-loss Michigan State. No. And then you went to 3-loss Ole Miss, 3-loss Arizona as the other ones sitting just outside of that top 8. I think 4, I didn't believe this, and maybe it's just this season, but 4 was perfect. 6, I guess, would have been perfect because you would have included Baylor and TCU. But I think by going to 8, you really...
Well, you do 6, you do like a play-in round or something?
Maybe.
Like a wild card?
Maybe. Maybe you do the top 2 get a bye, and the 3-3 versus 6 and 4 versus 5, something like that.
That I don't know. I'd have a hard time with giving anybody a bye in this.
Oh, I agree.
Because it has already become so difficult to win a national championship now. I mean, someone's going to win it every year, right? But it is an accomplishment now. To get through those 2 games.
But, okay, the NFL playoffs, which we're going to talk about here in a minute. One of the reasons I think the NFL, which they make money and everybody watches it, so it's this criticism is going to seem a little hollow. But I think one of the weaknesses of the NFL postseason is the fact that a team like the Giants, now again, it was against the Patriots, so I'm a little bitter, twice win a championship when they weren't actually a very good team in the season, right? And what I don't want to happen into college football is where you end up having a team win a championship who didn't really earn a place there. Does that make sense? Like, yeah. All four teams that competed deserved to be there. They deserved to be there. And you look at Mississippi State. Now, granted, they had two losses, but they go in and get beat by freaking Georgia Tech in the Capital One Orange Bowl.
Yeah.
So did you really want Mississippi State in there? Do you really want Mississippi State? And I'm not trying to badmouth Georgia Tech. You know, they were a good team this year, but you know, and then, you know, Baylor ends up losing to Michigan State, which is fine, right? Michigan State's a good team.
Because Michigan State would have been in that same group if you would have taken eight.
Correct. So anyway, I don't know. I think four is fine, and right now they're locked into a contract. I think four is here. We had the BCS for what, like 15 years?
This is still way better than that.
This is 1,000 times better, and we are not moving to eight anytime soon. I know people were like, oh, they're going to change to eight like next year. They're not changing to eight anytime soon. These contracts are fixed. And yes, will they go the whole 10-year contract? Maybe not, but it's not going to happen anytime soon.
How soon does the Big 12 get a championship game set up?
I think not next year, but the year after that, and they may do it without expanding. Which, by the way, makes a championship without expanding where you don't have two divisions is stupid. Because basically the teams play again, which means you're in that same – they'd be in the same problem. So Baylor beat TCU, right? And TCU lost to whom? I can't remember off the top of my head here. TCU lost to Baylor, I mean. And then Baylor lost to
who did they lose to? It was a
Baylor lost to West Virginia, okay?
Right.
So what do you do if you flip around? Baylor wins in the regular season, but then TCU wins the championship game.
Yeah, you've got the same problem you had.
You didn't solve your problem. You have the same problem. Now the Baylor fans are going, well, we beat them already. Like, why do we have to beat them twice to win a championship? That doesn't seem fair, right? So, gosh, if they do go that route, which it seems like that's what they're leaning towards if they decide to do a championship. But right, quite frankly, Baylor gets in and probably trumps Ohio State if the beginning of their schedule doesn't go SMU, Northwestern State, and Buffalo. That's what screwed them over. Not having a championship game. They didn't play anybody out of conference that they didn't play anyone outside of conference. It's just a terrible not a whole lot better for TCU. They did have Minnesota, but their other two out of conference games are Samford and SMU. So they're going to have to do better than that in the future in scheduling. But you know, not probably in 2015 because those are already kind of set. So Matt, let's finish off with the NFL playoffs.
Now, yes,
you can if you hate the Patriots and hate Bill Belichick and hate Tom Brady, you can turn off the podcast now.
Every single person just turned off the podcast.
No, they didn't. There's a few Pats fans, and there's a few like pure NFL fans who find the Patriots fascinating from like a historical perspective.
So I made a suggestion today at work that I was going to put my Tom Brady jersey on display for the next 2 weeks.
Okay, and people said it would be defaced.
Yes, that's actually exactly what I was told.
Why don't you remind them the Houston Texans are terrible and the Cowboys finally made the playoffs and then choked?
So, well, actually, not a ton of Cowboys fans.
In Houston?
Yeah, wow. Some. Wow. Lots of Texans fans.
Lots
and
of
I
Texas
get behind fans. The Texans in a lot of situations.
Well, if you're behind the Texans, you're probably drafting really high.
A decent amount of New Orleans Boom. Saints fans.
Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, Houston didn't have a team for a long time, so I don't mock anyone who may have wandered, and you don't have to go up and like you know, the Tennessee Titans because it used to be your franchise, right?
Yeah, I don't know if I've met a single Houston yeah. native who's a Tennessee Titans
fan. No, I can't imagine. Ask people in Seattle if they root for the Oklahoma City Thunder. Universally new. But so the NFL playoffs, this is a rare year when the top-seeded team in both conferences makes it to the Super Bowl. A lot of people dislike the Seahawks. A lot of people dislike the Patriots. And it'll still be one of the most watched things ever, right?
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
We love football in this country.
We love football in this country. So looking at the matchup, Matt, Pete Carroll, former Patriots coach, Russell Wilson and Tom Brady, late round quarterbacks who you know, weren't supposed to be as good as they've become. Defensive, you know, two defenses that are very, very good, all these things. What is the most fascinating thing to you about this matchup, if you could pick one thing?
I kind of like that, and I don't normally go for these one-on-one matchups, but the one that keeps coming back to me today is this Richard Sherman and this Seattle defense against Tom Brady.
Yeah, yeah.
To me, that is going to be a lot of fun to watch.
Yes, I think that is the key to the game. I think the Patriots, as the Packers showed, you can scheme to slow down the offense. I mean, of Seattle, and Belichick and his staff are experts at taking away whatever you do best. And ask the Colts. But, you know, can Brady, who's not, I mean, Brady is still a top five quarterback in the NFL, but he's mm-hmm. not Tom Brady from a few years ago. He will make a mistake or two a game, as he did against the Colts, but it didn't matter because the Colts couldn't score. But, you know, he will make a few mistakes. But the thing is, Russell Wilson, I don't think he is a top five quarterback, though I'm sure I'll get some hate mail from some of the Seahawks fans. But, you know, it'll be really interesting. Let's do something interesting. Okay, I'm going to do this right now. All right? We're going to do kind of an up and down. Okay? I'm going to pick a quarterback, and then I'm going to tell you that the next person on the list, are they better or worse? Okay?
All right. This is good.
How does that sound? All right. So we're going to start off, and we're going to go by quarterback rating, which is not the best way, but it's a good way to start. Okay? So okay. This is based on the 2014 regular season, okay? Mm-hmm. But you're going forward. Okay, Tony Romo was the top-rated quarterback. Will you take Tony Romo or Aaron Rodgers?
Aaron Rodgers,
right? Okay, so Rodgers we have is the best. Tony Romo or Ben Roethlisberger? This is a name game, by the way. I've totally stolen this from the Fantasy Focus podcast.
I'll take Roethlisberger.
May it rest in peace. I will also take Roethlisberger, but I think that's close. Tony Romo or Peyton Manning?
Peyton Manning before the quad tear?
Before the quad tear.
Peyton Manning.
So Tony Romo's fallen. Tony Romo or Tom Brady?
Tom Brady.
Tony Romo or Drew Brees?
I'm taking Brees. Do I just hate Tony Romo?
Do we both hate Tony Romo? Now, this one's also tough. Tony Romo or Andrew Luck?
I'm still taking Luck.
So now Romo has fallen down to 7. Okay, but this is where Romo, I think, sticks. Romo or Carson Palmer?
Oh, Romo.
Romo, right? Carson Palmer or Ryan Fitzpatrick?
Palmer.
Fitzpatrick or Russell Wilson?
Russell Wilson.
Wilson or Carson Palmer?
Wilson.
Wilson or Tony Romo?
Wilson.
Wilson or Drew Brees?
Oh, man.
I take Brees.
Yeah, I think I take Brees.
But it's close. And obviously, if you're building a franchise, Brady and Brees and Manning and Roethlisberger, and even
but they
Romo,
all come off the list, right? Because if you're...
They're old, right? So, I mean, part of, we're not, you know, franchise building. But my point with doing this was, he's a 6 or 7 or 8, depending on your preference, quarterback in the league, right? Brady is, you know, probably, and this will vary by people, somewhere between 3 and 5, okay? And at times in his career, he's been number one in the league, or 2, you know? But I think Rodgers right now, isn't Rodgers the undisputed belt holder, no pun intended?
His discount double check?
Yeah. To me, he's the best. I mean, he almost beat that great Seahawks defense on one leg.
He did beat that Seahawks defense. But yeah. Let's just call it what it is.
Well,
he beat that Seahawks defense.
Man, the Seahawks had a couple. I mean, and I'm not saying their win was luck because they made the plays, but I mean, Wilson's like kind of Hail Mary 2-point conversion pass. Like, that ball was up in the air. Like, I'm surprised the guy didn't call for a fair catch under it. It was a crazy end to a game. Absolutely crazy.
It was crazy, but Rodgers did not lose that game.
Yes, fair enough. Fair enough. Rodgers did not lose that game. But that my point is, you know, he did that on one leg. I mean, he is an amazing quarterback and at the top of his game right now. But Russell Wilson's good too. I'm not that was not meant as any kind of dig on Russell Wilson. He's going to get paid when he finally becomes a free agent here in the next year and a half. Be paid a lot of money. Be paid a lot of money. So Matt, I assume your prediction for the Super Bowl, it's 2 weeks away, but we're, 2 weeks away, but you can give your prediction now. We'll give another prediction next week. Patriots by 50. Is that what you're calling?
Patriots by 52.
Ooh! The opening line, by the way, is a pick'em. I haven't looked today, but the opening line was a pick'em, which it should make for a good Super Bowl.
I think it's going to be a great game to watch. Yeah. I think it's going to be a fun, awesome game.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, it's going to be
like,
a great
I'm
game
debating
to watch.
Whether or not we can have people over to watch it. Because there's part of me that's like, if it's a close game,
don't do it.
I really can't do that. But then you got to worry, now somebody going to invite us over. Then you got to have the awkward, like, you don't want me in your house watching this game.
It's very clear.
You have children.
You don't want to be in their house, and you don't want anybody at your house. I did it once with the Patriots Super Bowl, and I regretted it because I was kind of mean.
This is why we can't have nice things.
People were talking, and I was like, stop talking.
Shut up.
Well, we just came to watch the commercials. Then go watch at your own house. You invited us over.
We brought guacamole.
We have dip. So Matt, we'll end on a tweet bag question.
Tweet bag.
The Irish Mexican at Bullishism asks, should they bench Tom Brady? Hashtag troll bag. Now, of course, for those of you
troll
who are aware, after a crushing loss to Kansas City early in the season, some of the press corps asked Bill Belichick if it was time to make a change at quarterback. And to be fair, Brady had not been playing particularly well, which, of course, Belichick looked like the person had just let out like a 5-second fart in church and was not very happy. Not very happy. Hoodie was mad.
I'm not really sure what to do with your analogy there. But
Well, I did it on Sunday, so I'll let you know the result.
You let out a 5-second fart in church on Sunday? Is that what you just said?
That's what I said, but this it's not true. It was the baby, I swear.
Oh, there you go.
it was one of the children.
That's the oldest trick in the book.
Kids. I don't know. Yeah, I didn't have taquitos last night. But anyway, Tom Brady is really good, and no, they were not going to bench him in week 4 for Jimmy Garoppolo.
No, but you know what? I think there's a case to be made for a Tom Brady benching. Let's just be serious here for a second.
Yeah, okay? We are not capable
there's
of that.
There's a case to be made for a Tom Brady benching. He was benched yesterday at the end of the game. Hey now!
Whoa! Well, what's funny is that I tweeted out, nobody responded because Colts fans had already were diving into the Wabash River. Andrew Luck stayed in the game till the end. If you're the Colts, do you leave him in those last two drives?
I don't. Probably not.
He is your future. He is the franchise. He's excellent. He did not have a great game against the Patriots, but he is an excellent quarterback. By the way,
and he's going to do great things in the NFL.
Yes, yes, yes. Luck or Wilson?
Wilson.
I take Luck. I take Luck. I think Luck has done more with less. So Wilson, besides Lynch, isn't exactly that offense isn't, you know, brimming over with talent.
I think that if Luck shaved the beard, I might feel differently about him.
Mm. And you know, Luck like compliments people when they hit him.
I think that's awesome.
I think that's awesome. He found JJ like, Watt once.
Nice hit. Great hit.
Like a whole like series later, because he hadn't had a chance during an interception to tell Watt what a nice hit it was, and Watt was just like wanted to hit him again.
That's right. Hilarious. Then.
Like if you see,
is he just like? Is he messing with people?
I don't think so.
He's kind of a little quirky.
I think he's a little quirky. You know, when you see him interviewed, he's kind of a quirky guy. There's a reason why you're not going to see him doing Peyton Manning-like commercials.
Chicken parm, you taste so good.
That's right. That's right. Well, if you want to get in on the action and join the conversation on Twitter, tweet at us at BYU_RiceShout and email me, adam@loyalcougars.com, or Matt to tell him how much you disliked his comments today. Matt@loyalcougars.com. Matt, anything else for the listeners before we sign off?
No, let's just get ready for the Super Bowl, baby.
That's right. Well, we'll be back next week with our Super Bowl show. Just kidding. But we will, I'm sure, talk about the Super Bowl some next week and have some guest on to talk about hoops and whatever. And thanks for downloading. Thanks for listening. And we will catch you next time.
Go Cougars. The past is gone.